pastor interrupts the sermon to ask three men in the front row, what would you want your loved ones to say as they are looking down at you in your coffin? Tom says this, that I was a good husband and father. Bill says this, that I lived a good life of kindness to others. Dan said this, look, he's moving. That's great, isn't it? Look, he's moving. That's powerful. Here's one. The youth pastor fell asleep in staff meeting, so we laid some clothes on the chairs and quietly exited. Then we blew a trumpet. Isn't that great? Can I do just one more? One more, okay. Then we'll get into the message for today. And I have the right to say this because I'm a blonde, okay? A blonde just texted me saying, what does IDK stand for? And you know all these young people, they use all these letters now, you know. Acronyms, that way. I mean, recently I had to ask what BFF meant. I didn't have any idea. And then the other one was shaking my head. I had no idea what SMH meant. I was like, what does that mean, you know? But in this, a blonde just texted me saying, what does IDK stand for? I texted back saying, I don't know. She replied, oh my goodness, no one does. Because that's what IDK stands for, is I don't know. Wow. That's awesome. Wow, share the story. I want to share a story with you of what happened this last Monday here at Encounter Church. And it was really interesting. As you know, we have Monday morning prayer. Everybody know we have Monday morning prayer here from 6:30 to 7:30. And since we started it, it's been a little bit of a source of frustration because we have rookies working back there on Monday morning with the sound stuff. And we just, I don't know anything on that soundboard. It's a digital soundboard. I don't even want to touch it, really. But those that show up on Monday morning that come, you know, my wife Jeannie, and she doesn't know much about the camera because we do a live prayer service. And for people join us live, and we have people in the sanctuary praying every Monday morning. And so when we get here, it's just always been a source of frustration because things aren't done, and I don't know how to get that camera working. One time, me and Jim Bober, him and Linda come on Monday mornings, and Jim Bober, we spent 10 minutes trying to find out how to turn the camera on and found there's a little bitty switch on the very top that's kind of hidden or somewhere up there, you know, and I don't know. We finally got the camera on, but as a pastor, I am the kind of guy that I just like everything to be done when we start something. I want everything to be ready, and I want everything to be excellent and things such as that. And so for the longest, I mean, it was just like every Monday morning we were having issues up there, whether it was the media, with the soundboard, with the camera getting it going, and we were just trying our best, and I was getting frustrated. The people working up there were getting frustrated. Stacy would come in, and because she helps lead, we have live worship normally on Monday mornings, and she helps lead a lot, and she knows a lot of it. She would get things worked out, and I had a routine that I started coming in early enough before everyone else. I would get here pretty early, and I'd just turn everything on and have it ready for them when they came in. And so that, you know, these folks that are, you know, coming in that early, they everything's just ready for them to get our service to get started. And I mean, frustration after frustration. And so this last Monday, well, let me back up and say, one of the things that we did was we asked the media team back there to leave everything on Sunday so that we didn't have to figure everything out on Monday morning because we're all rookies, you know. And so we asked them, and there's signs up there back there now. Is there not signs? There's signs on the computers and all that. Please leave everything on for Monday morning and all of that. And so I'm a routine guy, you know. And so this last Monday, I walk in. It's pretty early. And I look around, and the TVs are on because we asked them to leave the TVs on, okay? Their own. I still have some frustration with the media thing because I can't find the certain graphic that we have for morning prayer. And I'm looking all over it, and I'm looking in there, and I'm just looking, I'm looking. I'm like, oh, can we ever just get this thing right? I mean, why are we having struggles? And then we're minutes before we start, just minutes. Timothy's here. Bev is here because they're leading worship. Stacy's not here. It's her Monday off. She's taking that Monday morning off. And just minutes before we start prayer, no microphones are working. None. Tim's not working. Bev's not, her microphone's not working. The microphone we use right here is not working. And so while my blood pressure is rising, because we can't get any of the microphones to work. And so Jim Bober is back there on the soundboard, and I walk back there. Jeannie's back there trying to help him. And Jim is just like, I'm no joke, Jim is just like this. He's punching buttons all over the soundboard. Man, I mean, his hands are moving just like this. And he's going all over the place on the soundboard. And we're just like, I'm getting more frustrated. And he's going like this, trying to get everything to work. Nothing's working. And he's even moving his hips like this, too. And Montana told me I shouldn't do that, but he's just all over that soundboard moving. And then they call Stacy and wake her up, and they're talking on the phone to Stacy, trying to get everything working back. No microphones are working. They're doing everything that they can for it to work, and it's not working. And finally we realize there's one cord back here that needs to be plugged in. And all we had to do was plug in that cord. And they started working. And you see, today I'm talking about your greatest relationship. Because sometimes in life, nothing seems to be working because we're not plugged in to our greatest relationship. And we're really living life like this. We're all over the soundboard of life. We're just, nothing is happening. We're just pushing here and there. And the whole reason was that it was unplugged was that, my routine was, usually on Monday morning, I come in here and I turn, there's a switch back here you got to flip for the, and then I'd plug in that cord. And it was just routine. Well, when I saw the TVs were on, I didn't come up here. And then when I did walk up here, I looked up there, and that cord wasn't laying. It's usually laying across the platform, and it wasn't laying there. So I thought to myself, well, Tony's been up here doing stuff with sound and rewiring things and all that, so he must have done away with the cord. Well, then finally Jim walks back there, shines his light down in there, and the cord's laying down behind the platform, and that's where we find the cord back there. And you just plug it in, and there it goes. Everything's working just fine, And that's sometimes the way it is with our life, is we're all over the place. We're punching buttons everywhere. And things are just frantic in our life. We can't get anything in order in our life, and everything's ba-da-da-da-da-ba-ba-da-da. And sometimes it's because we're not plugged in to our most important relationship, and that's our relationship with God. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking, and he says this: therefore do not worry, saying what we shall eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And what are all these things? They're usually the things that are making us going all over the place. And we're worried about this, and we're worried about that, and things just seem out of order and frantic in our life. And he says, but seek, say it with me, everybody, first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, what things? The things that are making us go crazy. The things that we're worried about. He says, all these things shall be added unto you. We're continuing the series together at the table. In case you're wondering, you're visiting, I usually don't have this big old table up here. I have that small one over there. But in this series, together at the table, is what we're talking about, a series on relationships. And today I'm talking about your most important relationships. And talking about our greatest relationships, there's something I need to mention before I get to the points in this message, is that there's the principle of priority. The principle of priority. God wants us to put him first. Can I say that again? God wants us to put Him first. There's something about God that I've learned. I don't know if you've probably already learned it, but there's something about God that I've learned is that God thinks He's God. I mean, He really does believe that He's God. And He's the one and only true God. And God wants us in our life to put Him first in our life. No other relationship should take the place of a God relationship, of our God, of God relationship in our life. It's a principle. It runs all throughout the scripture. It's a principle of God that the first belongs to God. You know, it belongs to Him. This is because, again, God is a God of order. We find out when it says put God first, that means God is a God of order. And you can see it all through the scriptures, friends, that God wants to be first in our life. God doesn't think His order is the right way or the best way. He thinks it's the only way. Is it okay if I say that again? God doesn't think His way is the right way. He doesn't think His order is the right way or the best way. He thinks it is the only way. Everybody say only. It is the only way, my friend. And that's what He blesses in our life. That's what He blesses, is when things are in that order in our life. If you want to be blessed, and this isn't real deep, okay? Look at your neighbor and say, this really isn't deep. It's really not deep. Is that if you want to be blessed, do things God's way. It's really kind of that simple, you know. Do things God's way, but yet some of us really struggle with that. And God being first in our life here's why we struggle with God being first is because we want to be first. That's just our human nature. That's human nature. I want to be first. And I can prove to you that you want to be first. You're in a group picture. You look at it. Who's the first person you look for? You. You look for you. You're in a group picture. And you know, we got Facebook now. Everybody puts everything on Facebook. Somebody takes a picture. You're in that group picture. And you're like, let me look at it first before you put it on Facebook. And you want to look at you. And you want to make sure that you are presentable to everybody else. I mean, it's just human nature that we want to be first. And sometimes that's why we struggle with God being first in our life. And so we read in the Old Testament even that God is a God of order for the tabernacle. You read it. He had an order for eating and preparing food. He had an order for offering sacrifices and prayers and worship. He's that God of order. But we're no longer in that old covenant, right? Amen. We're in a new covenant, what we call the New Testament of our Bible, you know, and that order of the tabernacle, but in that order of, you know, eating, preparing, all of those things and the sacrifices that were offered in the order that God wanted them. We're no longer in the Old Testament in that. So in the New Testament, here's what it amounts to: the motivation of my heart. It becomes the motivation of my heart about God being, you know, first in my life. It's my heart. It really has to do with my heart. If we seek God first, He will not only provide for us, God, He'll bless us. He will. I mean, there's countless people that have experienced that in their life. Hebrews 11 and 6 is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, talking about God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and, everybody say and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently, what? Seek Him. They're in the writings of Hebrews there, Hebrews is one of my favorite books of the Bible. But it says right there, it says, He's a rewarder of those who diligently, what? Seek Him. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. And so when I read these scriptures, and I'll tell you this, I haven't always put God first in my life. I haven't always put God first in my life. I haven't always lived a lifestyle that was putting God first in my life. And I can tell you from experience, and not just me, but there's a lot of other people in this building right now that could tell you by experience, God's way is better. It just is. I know the enemy wants to tell you it's not, that God's going to take this way, that way. Nah, nah, nah. Did you know there's a little verse stuck away in your New Testament Bible that says God gives you all things richly to enjoy? God wants you to enjoy life. We think if we put God first, life's going to be boring and everything about what I can't do. But I look at it as, man, when I put God first, I look at what I can do in that relationship with God. And so when I look at that and I look at my own personal life and I'm like, the times that I didn't put him first, and I'm thinking to myself, why wouldn't anybody want to have God as their most important relationship in their life? When you read these scriptures, and I'm just going to give you five perceptions, really four perceptions, and then there's going to be a fifth one, but four perceptions as to why I believe sometimes people don't want to put God first in their life, okay? Number one is this. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, number one. Come on, number one. I'm going to go through these really quick here. Number one is offense. Because they see themselves on one side of the fence and God on the other side of the fence. And that's really their perception of God. When I say a relationship with God, some people think that way. Like they're on one side of the fence and God's on the other side of the fence. And can I tell you, friends, when you look at it that way, when you see God from that perspective, we see God as unreachable. When we're on one side and he's on the other side, we see him as unreachable. But can I just help you this morning, those of you watching and those that are here, is that if you have that perception of God, can I just be honest with you? It's a wrong perception of God. If you see yourself on one side of the fence and him on the other side of the fence. Because the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, after sin entered the earth, it says, it's talking about Adam and Eve. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Listen, my friends, what is this telling us is that God jumped the fence. God jumped the fence. Adam and Eve were hiding from God. Who was hiding? Mankind was hiding. But God was looking for mankind, not hiding from mankind, not on the other side of the fence. God jumped the fence and went and found them there in that garden as they were hiding. Why did he do that? Because that's the character of God, is that he desires you. He desires you. And he jumped the fence to get to mankind, my friend. And sometimes people have that perception of that God's on one side of the fence and he's really unreachable and I can't reach him. But I want you to know, my friends, that God jumped the fence for you and he longs to have a relationship with you. The second misperception that we have is one like that's a ladder. And it's almost like we're climbing the ladder to get to God. And that ladder is our works. I'm going to work my way to getting to God. I'm going to climb the ladder. And if I can just get high enough on that ladder, I can get to God. By my works. I can do this good, that good, do that right, do that. And every time I do the right thing and the good thing, I'm climbing the ladder to get to God. And that's a misperception, my friend. Can I just, in a loving way, tell you again, that's another misperception. Because there's nothing that you can do of your own self to get to God. There's nothing you can do of your own self to get to God. That's work. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2 says it like this: for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Look at that. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And you know, Paul told, I think it was in the book of Galatians, because these people had slipped back into legalism. And Paul told them, he said, listen, it's either works or grace. It can't be both. It cannot be both, my friends. It's either by his grace or work. It cannot be both. And we want to mix it sometimes. But it's a wrong perception in a relationship with God that you think you can just climb the ladder to get to him. Because it's not by your works, my friends. It's by his goodness and his grace. Then what did the Bible say? It is a gift from God. What do you do when a gift? You open it. Come on. How many of you at Christmas time take the gift and leave it on the shelf until next Christmas? How many of your kids do that? When you give that gift to those kids, how many of them just, oh, I'll open it later? No, they're tearing into it. They're like, and Jesus said, unless you receive the kingdom as a child, with childlike faith. Wow. You take a gift and you open it. It's a gift from God. A ladder. We think we work our way. You can't work your way to God. It's just a wrong perception. The third misperception that we have of God is that of a trash can, a garbage can. Wow. And here's what we think. There's been so much trash in our life that God doesn't want anything to do with us. Did you know that's a wrong perception of God? Is that there's so much garbage in my life that God wants nothing to do with me. It's you can't approach God with that attitude there and experience everything that he has for you. And some of us, that's the way we think. We think it's our life is just like a trash can that we're unattractive to God. We're not attractive to him because all the junk in our life. Anybody else here had junk in your life? It got junk? Yeah. Anybody else here? The rest of you that didn't raise your hand, we'll pray for lying. And that's the junk in your life, by the way, is the lying. That's the trash. And by the way, God knows your trash. But we think it's a misperception, friends, that our trash is keeping God from us. It's, you know, it's like we're looking at a filthy garbage can and we're ashamed of our trash. And it's a misperception of God. It's a wrong picture of God. Why is that? Because no matter what you've done, God still loves you unconditionally. Can I say that again? No matter what you've done, God still loves you unconditionally. There's not been one moment in your life that God has loved you any less than what he loves you right now. He loves you unconditionally, my friend. Even in with the trash in your life. Even with the trash in your life. In fact, there was a time when Jesus was walking the earth. The Bible tells us that he was calling his disciples, and he called, am I going in and out on this thing? Okay. He was calling his disciples. One of the disciples that he called was Matthew, and Matthew was a tax collector. And the Bible says that when Jesus called him, he went in to eat with Matthew, and he was eating with the other tax collectors and the sinners, and the religious people were outside. So he's going, what is he doing? Why is he in there eating with those people? Why is he with those tax collectors and those sinners? Everybody say, sinners. And what they forgot is while they were pointing with that one finger, there were three others pointing right back at them. And Jesus, this is what his reply to them was in Luke chapter 5, 31 and 32. Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. Wow. In another passage of scripture, in a parable that Jesus was telling in Luke chapter 15, verse 4, I'm not going to read the whole parable, just this one verse. Kind of reveals the heart of Jesus in this matter. He says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And what Jesus was doing when he shared this parable, he was revealing the heart of God, is that God will go after the one that's lost. God will go after you. God went after you. God went after you. And, you know, sometimes we write our songs, and I'm not a picky guy, real picky guy about songs, even Christian songs. Some of them, you know, anybody ever remember that song, I Found Jesus? Remember that song? Anybody remember that? Come on. Am I telling my age here? And Christy said, yeah, she remembers it. And so I don't think she's as old as me, but, I mean, somebody, I Found Jesus. I always thought about that. Listen, guys, Jesus found you. Jesus found you. He jumped the fence for you. In your worst day, he loved you. In your worst day, he jumped the fence for you to rescue you. He went after the nine. He left the 99 to go after the one. I'm so thankful for that. He was willing to go after the one because he values the one. It's a wrong perception to see your life in your relationship with God as a trash can and that you're not attractive to God. God loves you through all the trash, my friend. He loves you so much. And then the fourth misperception that we have is our insurance agent. And by the way, that's an actual picture of my insurance agent there, Betty Davison. She'd probably hurt me if she knew I put her picture up on the screen at the church. But that's our actual insurance agent. But sometimes we treat God like an insurance agent. You know, we only go to our insurance agent when we need them. That's the only time we call on them is when we need them. Isn't that true? I mean, Jeannie and I, not too long ago, we had to talk to Betty and people in her office because our hot water heater busted and it flooded our whole bedroom and all those kind of things, so we had to call our insurance agent. But many times that's our perception of our relationship with God is we just call him when we need him, like he's our insurance agent. It's just true. Is that as far as a relationship with God, we don't see that. We just say, well, he's there if I need him. Well, the Bible says he'll never leave me nor forsake me, so I'll just call on God when I need him. All along, when what God wants is a relationship with you. That's what he desires, is a relationship with you. But sometimes we treat him like our insurance agent. I never call up Betty, even though I know her. She's a friend, not just an agent, but she's been a friend in the past with us. And I never call her during the week and say, hey, Betty, just how you doing? I never get on the phone, hey, have a cup of coffee? Let's just talk. Let's just visit. Let's just spend some time together. In fact, Betty would be like, if I did that, well, she'd be, you're crazy. What's happened to you? But sometimes that is the way we do in our relationship with God. We treat him like he's our insurance agent. He's there if I need him. He's there if I need him. And sometimes we treat him like we've been paying him premiums. With our tithe. Well, God, I've been tithing. Zero relationship, but God, I've been tithing. I paid my premium, God. You're supposed to provide for me and take care of me. No relationship. You know why I call my insurance agent? Because I've been paying a premium. And that's their responsibility to take care of those things. That's why I call them. I've been paying a premium. Listen, my friends, God wants to have a relationship with you. God wants to spend time with you every day. He wants to be your greatest relationship, your most important relationship in your life. He wants to be your most important relationship, a personal relationship. Can I just help you? You don't have to have a relationship. You don't need, I'm going to say something that might blow you. You don't need me to have a personal relationship with God. You don't go through me. You don't go through any. Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and man. And so he longs for that relationship with you, a daily relationship with you, because he loves you. And he wants to spend time with you. He longs to spend time with you. And sometimes I wonder how much junk in my life would all of a sudden disappear if I would just put him first in my life, in a loving relationship. And, you know, we Christians, and here's what those of us that are followers of Christ, and here's what we do. We are notorious. It happens all the time. We're notorious for the swinging the pendulum from one extreme to the other. You know, we're notorious for that. Instead of bringing balance into our lives. And here's what happens. And sometimes we're like, oh, my relationship with God, I don't need to set a time. I don't need to do any of those things, you know, because that's religious. No, that's showing God that you value your time with him when you're willing to set aside time to be with him. It shows your value. You have time for other things in your life, don't you, that you make a time for? You punch a clock for? But when we can just set aside time to be with him, to spend time with him, not on the fly, but, I mean, really spend time with God, you know. Just let him talk to you. Because here's this fifth point is, I believe, the way we need to look at our relationship with God. And it's like a door. And on that door, you see a heart there. And they're talking about your heart's door. Okay? In the scripture, it says this in the book of Revelation. Jesus is talking. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. See, it's like a door. Our heart's door, that he's knocking on our heart's door, saying, and listen, when he knocks on our heart's door, he's just not wanting to deliver something. He's not a delivery boy. He's wanting to what? What does it say? If you'll open the door, he said, I'll come in. And you know what I'll do? I'll dine with you. What was he saying? I'll sit around together at the table with you in a relationship. He says, I'll come in and I'll dine with you. I'll spend time with you. Here's what he said. We can be together in this relationship. I want to sit at the table with you. That's what he says. That's his heart's cry. That's the perception that we need of God. He's at the door, he's knocking, and he wants us just to open our heart's door, and he wants to come in and he wants to fellowship with us. He wants to join us around the table and dine with us and be together at the table with him. Ah, there's no better life. There's no better life than God being your most important relationship above all else. I've found that it makes me a better husband. It makes me a better father. It makes me a better pastor. Is that when God is my most important relationship. And if you were to hear my heart today, it would be that I would hope that I could pass that to you, is that you see that as your most valuable, important relationship is with God, and that you can have a personal relationship with him. And he'll speak to you. He'll talk to you. Listen, and here's the deal, okay? I don't know who needs to hear this, but somebody does. I've never started off a time with God and him talk to me, slapping me around. He always reminds me how much he loves me. If he needs to correct me, he will. I've never had him do that to me. He just reminds me of how much he loves me and he cares for me. He loves to spend time with me. And today, I don't know where you might be at in that relationship and with him. And But my prayer is that there's, again, there's no guilt, no shame, no condemnation. And I was talking with someone yesterday, and I'm not going to say who. It was a private moment. And I was talking with them, and they were talking about how God was revealing some things in their life to them, okay? But I just felt the unction of the Holy Spirit to share with them, okay? And there were some unhealthy things, okay? We all have those from time to time, unhealthy things in our heart. And they were talking about that, and I said, okay, I see that. And I said, but here's what I believe you need to know, is that you don't need to try and change them. You need to let God change them. And that happens every day when you just give yourself to Him. You just give yourself to Him, and He changes you. You just have that relationship with Him, and He changes you. That's the way He works. You know, because I said, any other way, you're going to experience guilt, shame, and condemnation. And they said, you know what? I was so down on myself. That's what they said. I said, no. You let God do the changing. He loves you, and He just wants to spend time with you. All right? Won't you stand with me? Our most important relationship is with God. And I was, some of you know, and this is the closing story. And by the way, in John chapter 15, Jesus talks about that relationship with Him and being intimate with Him and abiding in Him. And I missed that verse there, but in John chapter 15, it's just important. But I want to say this, is that some of you know I went on an event not long ago called Quest, and it was where for a whole week it was just nothing with there were 15 other pastors there, and we just spent time in God's presence. We got off, it was on 300 acres of ranch land, and every day they sent us out on a devotional time by ourselves. And on that devotional time, here's what they said, stop by the gate and ask, oh, every day, you know, I've already shared one day that it was a really powerful day there. But every day they said, you stop at the gate, ask the Holy Spirit where He wants you to go on this 300 acres. And then you just follow the Holy Spirit. And so one day I did that, and I was on a very small path with trees real close, a bunch of trees all around me. And then all of a sudden, I stepped into an area that I don't know if they had purposely cleared it or what, but it was like a huge circle, and there were no trees in it at all. And you could see straight up into the sky. And the other place you couldn't. The trees were so thick that you couldn't see up fully. There was all looking through all these trees, and I ended up in that circle there. And so I just sat down. You had to bring a little chair with you, camping chair. And I sat down in that chair, and I just began to pray and to seek God and to write things in my devotional. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, look up. And I did. And he said, this is what He told me. He said, there's always an open heaven for you. But it's your responsibility to stay under it. Listen, there's always an open heaven for you. Jesus made the way for that in your life, for relationship with God. Always an open heaven for you. Always. But it's your responsibility to stay under it. We have to stay under it. And then he began to tell me what all the trees meant and all that, and I'm not going to share that right now. Maybe later. But God told me it's your responsibility to stay under the open heaven. You have to stay there. You can't allow other things to block that view of an open heaven and experience everything that I have for you. And so I just, you know, in the book of James, it says this, the last scripture, it says, draw near to God and what? He what? Will draw near to you. Draw near to God and He will. Well, He's already jumped the fence. Jesus has already paid the price. There's no works. It's not works. He takes care of the garbage in your life and all that. He will draw near to you because He longs for you. And He wants to have a relationship with you. In fact, He wants to be the most important relationship in your life. Every head bowed. Those of you watching at home, thanks for joining us. Stay with us for just a few more minutes. I want to ask you just a real simple question. And I just want you to be honest from your heart. Again, it's from your heart. Has God been the most important relationship in your life? Can you honestly say He has been? You know? And if not, He wants to be. He's not condemning you. He's not correcting you. He's not trashing you. He loves you. He wants to pull you into a relationship with Him. He's coming for you. He's pursuing you. But is there anybody here? You know, we prayed the salvation prayer earlier in the service. But is there anybody here that could say, Ken, you know, God really hasn't been the most important relationship in my life? Would you just lift your hand right where you are? Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands going up all over. Anyone else? Just give it a moment. Thank you so much for your honesty. Thank you. I appreciate that. Anyone else? Anyone else? He loves you. And right there where you're standing, he wants to encounter you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He's not pushing you away. He's pulling you in. And so I want to say a prayer right now, and I want everyone, especially if you lifted your hand, I want you to just turn your heart and your mind to God. And I want to ask everyone here, if you'll just reverence this moment as the Holy Spirit is speaking to people. Holy Spirit, you saw the hands that were lifted in this room. And I'm so thankful that the barrier has been removed through Jesus Christ, that He is the one mediator between God and man. I'm so thankful that Jesus paid the price so that, Father, we could have a relationship with you as your children. I'm so grateful for that. And I just pray right now, Father, that every person in this room, those watching via our live stream, will know how much you love them and that you long for them. And Father, you do want to be. It is your desire to be the most important relationship in their life. That's your desire, God. That's your heart. That's what you long for, is for to be the most important relationship in their life. Because, Father, they are the most important to you. As it was already said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so I just pray, God, that they will feel drawn to that relationship. And God, they don't have to put on any religious tones, any of that kind of stuff. God, they can just talk to you, and then just like they talk to anybody else. And, Father, then they just need to listen and hear your voice. Because in time, they're going to learn to hear your voice, because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. And so, Father, I just pray that all guilt, condemnation, all the torment of the enemy, the lies of the enemy, God, I pray that they've been exposed in this service, Lord, and replaced with the truth. That you want to spend time with your people, that you long to spend time with them and you love them. And you made a way through your Son, Jesus. And we just need to put our faith in Him. And then, God, we do need to make that relationship a priority in our life. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name.